This is a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network, WDPN, bringing you the very best in internet talk radio.
What up, geeks? Welcome to Kevin Squared, the WDPN Geek Chat. I am Kevin Kessler, and I am joined by Mr. Kevin Clark.
I hunger for non-rage-inducing reboots.
Yes, as do we all. As do we all, and hopefully one day we'll get a non-rage-inducing reboot, but this is not happening this week. So, folks, welcome to Kevin Squared. This is going to be a geek talk show for all your geek news of the week. The way this came up was Kevin and I do a show weekly. It's a weekly review show of Arrow. It's called Leon U. It's a WDPN Arrowcast. And we always get off on geek tangents. So every week I say to him, you know, we really should just do a geek talk show.
You have failed everyone's attention span.
Exactly. You know, like, because we're so ADD on that show. So we decided, what the heck, let's give it a try. Let's talk geek news of the week, and that way maybe we'll get it out of our system so that by the time we do Leon U, maybe we won't get off on so many tangents and we can keep it on the Green Arrow.
I will not promise that.
Yeah, neither can I. It's still going to be all right. You're just going to get a lot more tangents with this show plus that one. So, this week, big geek week, geek movie news week. What'd you say?
Indeedy-deedy. Yes. We had, like you said previously, some high highs and some low lows.
Yes, the highest highs to the lowest low as the week went on. I said that in the previous session that we started recording for a good 3 minutes before I realized that things were not going well.
But then we had to reboot it. Yes. Start over again.
Yes, and that's very frustrating.
Like it was basically a Fox production.
Yes, everything we're saying right now, we basically already said, except for this part about talking about what we said previously.
That's right.
And that right there.
All right. Wooka chaka, wooka chaka, wooka, wooka, wooka chaka.
I have been doing that all week because this Guardians of the Galaxy trailer that hit was so much fun. And it's just a teaser. It is a teaser. And it's just proof that Marvel Studios knows what it's doing.
You pick a catchy song from the 70s. Some people keep saying the 80s, but it's the 70s, numbnuts.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't mean that. I didn't really mean the numbnuts part.
Yes, you did.
But, you know, it's from the 70s. And the only way the trailer could have been better is if they used the David Hasselhoff version.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, you know, you pick take a catchy song. The raccoon barely even, I don't think the raccoon even spoke in it.
No, Rocket didn't speak, but they put out like a Meet Rocket Raccoon video where you hear him say like one line. It's just Bradley Cooper's voice. Yeah. He's not doing like a weird raccoon voice.
You got tons of gunfire. You got Amy Pond and some purple makeup.
Okay, we're gonna get to that because she looked awesome. If you pick out Nebula in the trailer, she's only here for like 3 seconds. But
Dave Bautista channeling 70s Lou Ferrigno.
Yes, absolutely.
And you know, and it's just all around awesomeness.
Zoe Saldana, who I did not realize was Zoe Saldana in the trailer. She is playing one of our main characters, Gamora, who I think I mistakenly thought was Thanos' daughter. I don't know if that's a mistake or not. I asked Kevin, and he didn't really seem to know. So the trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy, it debuted on the Jimmy Kimmel Show, which I think. Do you think that the movie is going to have a comedic tone to it, Kev, or do you think that it's really just the fact that it debuted on a comedy show?
No, I think this is going to be different from, actually, I can't even say that, because Marvel movies tend to have a little bit of a comedic undertone.
Like, almost but, like they understand that not everything needs to be dark and depressing, and that there can be joy in a comic book movie?
Well, you know, it's, when you don't have a Christopher Nolan, David Goyer production, you may get a little bit of humor, but, and it's smart. It's smart to take a comedic tone with this one, because, quite frankly, unless you are a super ridiculous, rabid comic book fan, a lot of people do not know who the Guardians of the Galaxy are.
I didn't know who Guardians of the Galaxy
are. And frankly, you have to be a slightly older one because really up until recently, there hasn't been a Guardians book in quite some time, or I should say a Guardians book worthwhile reading.
Mm-hmm.
So you're taking a risk with an unknown property, which at the end of the day, this was the property that started it all. If it wasn't for the Star Wars prequels coming to an end, Marvel would have never had the idea to do their own version of Star Wars. You know, and, they realized that nobody heard of the Guardians of the Galaxy, so doing it would be a risk, so let's start with Iron Man and see what happens.
I like that Marvel is playing off the fact that nobody knows who the Guardians of the Galaxy are.
Well, again, it fits the tone. You know, you Again, it's an unknown property, but at this point in time, Marvel has released X amount of movies. They've all been very solid, you know, despite fanboy reaction to Iron Man 2 and 3. Everything else has been spectacular. So, you know, you see that red and white logo, and you know you're up for some quality.
Absolutely.
You throw people some laughs, and, you know, you pretty much guarantee that people are going to take a chance for it because people want to laugh.
Yeah, and you know what? Look, they did a great job of mixing fun comedy with awesome-looking action sequences.
Absolutely.
I think Vin Diesel's found the role for himself, by the way.
I think we've got more from Vin Diesel to come.
More dances?
Yeah, I hope so. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah.
Would you race me?
Yeah.
I'd race me. I'd race me hard.
If you're not sure what we're talking about, folks, Vin Diesel recently posted a video of himself dancing and grabbing his crotch in his living room because I guess Riddick was the number one selling DVD that week.
Well, you know, and he got bored and he wanted to dance. He's got a groove in his heart and a beat in his soul.
Well, I don't remember what he was dancing to in the actual video, but the one that I always love is somebody took it, the Silence of the Lambs song and put it to that, and it was hysterical because it worked.
A jacked Buffalo Bill.
Yes.
But this brings me to my to one of my points.
Okay.
You know, you've got the Guardians of the Galaxy, clearly, it's going to have a very, very, very funny bend to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be fantastic towards, you know, bringing non-comic book fans and comic book fans. Frankly, they don't have to sell tickets to us.
Right.
The only way you can make sure that you don't sell tickets to a comic book movie is to cast Rachel Maddow as Reed Richards.
We'll get there.
And, you know, as much as I love Michael B. Jordan, the kid from Chronicle is not the Human Torch. I get it. Listen, people, I want you to understand something because I know I don't sound like it. I'm a black man.
Thank you for clarifying that because I knew people weren't going to get it from...
I know, I get it. My voice sounds like every white guy ever.
If you probably polled the people that were listening to this and you said, one of these Kevins is black, which one is it? They probably would say me.
Probably. Thank you for taking the poll, all seven people. But I digress. Again, quality movies, but you take a humor spin, you get people in there. They don't have to sell comic book fans tickets. This brings back to your previous point of the lack of joy in the DC movies.
Right, and in Batman it works.
Yes. I am a staunch defender of the Man of Steel.
As am I. One of my top three comic book movies of all time.
I loved it. I saw it a billion times. I am willing to fist fight anybody who has anything bad to say about it.
He's big too, folks. You don't want to do that.
I'm just willing to do it. I need comic book fans to understand we are the facilitators of our own misery the vast majority of the time.
Interesting.
Do you want to know why Superman was so dark and not for us? Because comic book fans, for years, Superman is a wuss. He's just too nice. That's not believable. No one cares about Superman.
Yep.
Now you can turn around and go, well, why was Captain America so nice and wholesome? I'm just going to throw this out there because anybody who's an actual comic book fan is going to agree with what I'm going to say. When you think about Marvel Comics,
mm-hmm.
the only people you think about were Spider-Man and the X-Men.
Yes.
Everybody else was a waste of time. Even though the Fantastic Four, Captain America, the Avengers, they're Marvel's main eventers, they weren't cutting it. They weren't the number one selling books. People didn't care about them. The quality of their books was crap. It was just really out of loyalty and maybe brand recognition.
Mm-hmm.
But if it wasn't for Robert Downey Jr. in the first Iron Man, making Iron Man important to people on the street would still have no idea who he was.
Nobody knew who Iron Man was before that movie.
You know,
I mean, you remember the old 90s cartoon, I am Iron Man.
Well, that was the season 2 reboot.
Yes, I know.
I'll talk about that in a second. Because the season 1 of Fantastic Four, I flame on and on and on and on and on. That first season of both shows was horrendous.
Oh, when Johnny sings in the little
Johnny's
God.
Rap video.
That was actually a moment where I was watching that, and my dad walked in the room. My dad's not a geek at all. Big sports guy, doesn't get these things. He sees that, and he goes, this is what you're watching? And I felt embarrassed.
Not gonna lie. I listen to it every once in a moment when I feel down.
Of course.
I just need to be embarrassed.
You need to know that you flame on and on and on.
The... But, you know, they could do it because nobody knew who these characters were. And the Marvel Cinematic Universe does a significantly better job of portraying their comic book characters than their comic books do of portraying their comic book characters.
Absolutely, because they're allowed to be heroes in the movies.
Yes. Yes, they save people, although the heroes actually saving people ratio is pretty low until you get to Captain America.
But that's not just the Marvel movies.
Going back to Man of Steel. The Christopher Reeves version was so much better. What happens in the Christopher Reeves version? He meets Space Dad.
Yep.
And, you know, while they're talking, after he goes on his very easy trip across the Antarctic.
Yes, his little hike to the Antarctic.
His rave party glow stick leads him someplace. He throws it, and all of a sudden the Crystal Palace from Conan the Destroyer pops up, and he walks inside of it. And the Godfather's head pops and goes, 12 of your Earth years would have passed by the time we return from our cosmic trip. If you're training for something for 12 years, it doesn't matter what it is. You're going to be pretty effing good at it.
Right, absolutely.
So when he shows up and rescues painfully unattractive Lois Lane from the helicopter and defies the laws of physics by holding something the way he's holding it because his wrist should have broken, although you could sit there and go, it's Superman. We don't know how much pressure per inch his body can take.
Well, I love in the Big Bang Theory when they break it down mathematically that by the time he caught her, she'd have been traveling at such a velocity that
he would have
cut her in three individual pieces.
Yes, that's a discussion many friends and I have had. But by the time he shows up, he is already Superman. When you watch The Man of Steel, he has literally had the job for 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He gets the costume, all hell breaks loose. He does not know how to really save people. He is also fighting an entire army.
Yes.
Could you imagine if your first day on the job, you know, your first job, you're a 16-year-old. If you have some type of a work ethic and don't feel like mooching off your parents for the rest of your life, you get a job at 16. You're probably working in a supermarket. Or no, we'll take a retail store. You're working in Toys R Us, and the first day of your job is Black Freakin' Friday.
Yep.
It's going to be a miserable experience. This was Clark's miserable experience.
Oh, God, yeah. He got spanked by everybody in this movie.
So why was The Man of Steel so dark? Because comic book fans said that Superman wasn't interesting. And that...
Not relatable.
Yeah, not relatable. And that a wholesome, cheesy, ha-ha, hokey movie wouldn't work. So what do? You make a Superman movie not for comic book fans. And I defy you to find a couple of non-comic book fans, especially non-comic book fans within the age range of 12 to 22, that would tell you that Superman was cool. Because what happened when kids walked out of that movie... They were talking about how cool Superman was.
Yeah.
So
it was heartwarming to hear that as a Superman fan.
Pissy-eyed comic book fans crying about The Man of Steel, get over it.
And if you want to talk about all the people that must have died during the Metropolis fight, I have two massive middle fingers to raise into your faces because you all love the Avengers. How many people do you think died in the Avengers? They were slaughtering civilians by the hundreds.
How about Tony kills a couple of people when he's flying out of his window and activates his thruster boots?
Yeah!
Because there were a whole bunch of people under him, and not only did they get ripped up by glass, they should have had their faces burned off by his atomic rockets.
Yeah.
But, you know, when it comes to The Man of Steel, I will end on this point.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Superman movie we needed, not the one that we deserved.
Yes.
So, get your little pretty pink panties out of a twist and deal with it and enjoy it. Because, quite frankly, if you thought Batfleck was bad, Rachel Maddow and the kid from Chronicle are now featuring in the Fantastic Four reboot. And it's going to be horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
If you thought Jessica Alba's wooden acting, her best Pinocchio impression, was terrible in Rise of the Silver Surfer, and Toxic Cloud Galactus sucked, get ready.
Brace yourselves.
Hold on to your butts, because this is going to be an unmitigated disaster.
Well, let's stay on Guardians of the Galaxy for a second. I know we're both itching to rip this Fantastic Four thing apart, but let's keep it with the Guardians just for another couple of minutes, because I want to talk about Karen Gillan. And we are two Whovians. We love our Doctor Who.
Amy Pond.
Yes, I can't wait to see Amy Pond kick all kinds of ass as the granddaughter of Thanos.
Granddaughter of Thanos. By the way, if you people don't know, Kevin was convinced that Karen Scottish accent had to be fake.
Because it was so bad?
Because it was so bad.
Yeah.
And I kept going, no, she's actually Scottish.
It grew on me.
They're not faking their accents on the painfully British show.
It grew. Her Scottish accent grew on me. but then I heard her English accent, and that was even worse. Or American, I mean.
Her American. Snooky.
Yeah. Folks, if you really want to laugh, go on YouTube and type in the cast of Doctor Who does American accents. It's hysterical. I mean, like, you know, Rory and Matt's was it Rory's real name?
Arthur Dorval.
Yes. And Matt Smith, like, they do it. They do a pretty decent job, but they go to Karen Gillian and she just can't do it. Poor, poor Scottish girl. But I'm super psyched to see her in this film.
You know, it's going to be interesting. You know, obviously, we're going to get a look at Thanos. Although I am slightly convinced that he's not going to be running around and smashing stuff.
You know,
I just think he's going to be in the movie.
Yes, the question was asked, will we see a preview or a sneak of Thanos in this movie? By the way, is it Thanos or Thanos?
Depends.
All right, you keep saying Thanos, I'll keep saying Thanos. That way the show has at least one way of doing it right. They said, will we see Thanos in this movie? Or will we see a teaser of Thanos? And they were like, no, you will not see a teaser of Thanos. Because he's in the movie. So he is definitely a character. I'm sure he's going to be the big bad, like, you know, that there nobody's going to even touch.
Oh, yeah. Again, I'm sure he's in there.
You think you're going to see him throw down at all?
No, absolutely not. I don't think the technology's there yet. I don't think you're going to see that until, I think, by the time the third Avengers movie comes out, X-Men Apocalypse will be out. I don't think you see Thanos doing anything until we see what Apocalypse looks like.
And we might see Darkseid by then.
Hopefully.
We'll see. Well, they're cramming everybody else into this Batman versus Superman film, but you know, that's a topic for another day. You know, Karen Gillian, not the Doctor Who casting that I wanted in Guardians of the Galaxy. I really wanted David Tennant as Rocket Raccoon, as had been rumored for a long time. But
everybody wants David Tennant.
Everybody wants
stuff.
David.
Well, just to do stuff.
I'm afraid that he's going to become the new Nathan Fillion, where it's like anytime anything happens, all the geeks are going to like be like, David Tennant should do it. And then David Tennant gets no work because
ruinous.
Of it. Yeah. Nathan Fillion, who's just kind of telling the geeks, like, please stop, because I don't get work because of you people.
Although, I'm going to go out and be the sci-fi minority here. I did not like Firefly.
Me neither.
I'm 100% Cleveland Jr. in this one.
Yep.
If everyone is Han Solo, then no one is Han Solo.
It's... Oh, I've got to pull out my Cleveland Jr. impersonation. I'm very happy about that.
You know, I like the idea of Firefly.
It's a cool idea.
But I know all of you are just like how I was. You were pissed off that Buffy and Angel took a hit in quality because Firefly came out. It was on for 5 episodes and it was canceled. Why?
Yep.
Because no one was watching it.
Yep.
So stop reinventing history with your brown coats.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you were brown coating it up in front of your televisions, it may have accidentally made it to season 2.
Had you told a friend to watch it.
And would not have not even finished its initial season run.
If only it had been the CW. They don't cancel anything.
Well, they used to cancel everything. And now they don't cancel
anything. Beauty
and
the Beast got a second season before they finally canned that piece of garbage. But,
Kiss you, Lana Lang.
But my brother loves Firefly, and he was like, you gotta watch it. So I watched it. I'm just like, I get it. There's no sound in space, and I get you, Joss. You're trying to, like, show us that there's no sound in space, so these space... But it's boring when there's no sound.
Exactly. That's
there's a reason why the TIE Fighters went... Because it's awesome.
Or like, phasers go... In space, it's.
Mm-hmm. Could you imagine if the Death Star blew up and you heard nothing?
First of all, the Death Star wouldn't have even given you that giant flame.
Mm-hmm.
It was going, that would have been about it.
Yeah, seriously.
It would have stunk.
Seriously. That's why I really didn't like that whole thing with no sound. That was the thing that really got to me at first with Firefly.
I didn't mind that. It's just, you know, it was methodical in its pacing and, you know, too many. Everybody was a badass who didn't really show you how badass they were.
Right.
And then Serenity is literally just a reboot of the last episode.
I guess I could say. I never actually watched Serenity, but I heard it's just like...
Without the... Plus a director's cut temper tantrum by massacring every character that everybody likes.
That's what I was about to say. I heard it's just Joss Whedon kills the ones you love.
Yes.
Which he's always been so good at. Okay, so you know what? Elephant in the room. Let's move on to the Fantastic Four.
Meh.
Oh, by the way, before that, real quick, one thing I noticed on IMDb about Guardians, and then we'll move off Guardians, is, you know, first of all, let's look at the cast. You got Chris Pratt as Star-Lord. Awesome. He was great in the trailer. Very comedic.
Mega jacked, by the way. Little chubby dude who's super, super jacked now.
Yep, and he's having a great year with this, plus the Lego movie, because he was the main character in Lego movie. Bradley Cooper as Rocket, Vin Diesel as Groot, Zoe Saldana as Gamora, Lee Pace as Ronan the Accuser, Karen Gillian as Nebula, Benicio del Toro as the Collector, who I believe we saw at the end of Thor: The Dark World.
Yes, and pretty much was perfect.
Yes. Michael Rooker as Yondu, John C. Reilly as Roman Day, Dave Bautista as Drax the Destroyer. But the one that really caught me was, I'm not even going to pretend to be able to say this guy's name correctly. Peter Serafinowicz. Oh, I guess I did say it correctly. As Nova Corps officer.
Well, so, the Nova Corps is in it. I believe Glenn Close is Nova Prime.
Really? Glenn Close is playing Commander Rail.
Oh, okay. And for all those mega haters out there, Nova Prime just means that you are the one in charge of the Nova Corp. So for all you Richard Rider lovers out there going, relax. He became Nova Prime after all the Novas were wiped out during the Annihilation. Mm-hmm. And just deal with it. Stop it.
And now, real quick before we move on to Fantastic Four, what do we think about Batista in a mainstream Marvel movie?
I think it's cool.
Do you think he can act?
You know, I can't remember the name of the movie, but there's a Batista movie out there with Amy Smart in it, and it's kind of slow. And you know, the beautiful thing about Batista is that, you know, it's this giant burly dude with this very soft voice, and his lack of charisma is charismatic.
Yes.
So it's going to be cool to, you know, listen, I think that...
I used to love in WWE, like, going into WrestleMania 20, when he bashed in JBL's limousine, like, furiously with a baseball bat, and then stopped and straightened his tie and walked off calmly.
It's cool, because, you know, we are in an age where, for the most part, the action movies stopped being made, like, in 91, and all of the super jack dudes who you believed could actually kick a hole, you know, in a human being's chest.
Right.
Or were put on the shelf until Sylvester Stallone decided to return with the Expendables.
Good old Sly.
You know, you look at guys like John Cena, you look at guys like The Rock. You know, these are guys that were tailor-made for comic book movies, and they don't really make them to them, because they're just so much bigger than everybody else in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And when a role like Drax the Destroyer rolls around, it would have been very easy to want to attempt to CG this character, but to put a guy in some green makeup and use practical effects to have him walk around, it's really cool to see. I mean, it's really cool to see. Oh, man. We're using the modern Drax design, you know, so you don't have to deal with that weird purple cloak thing.
Right.
It's just cool to see. It's not like he's performing King Lear in park. He's in a comic book movie. So as long as he can maybe cough up a cheesy one-liner, maybe grunt and pick up something and throw it, I think you're okay.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so now moving on to Fantastic Four. The fact that this movie is being made boggles my mind. I really didn't expect this movie to actually be made.
It was kind of the running joke, the threat. You're gonna lose your movie rights unless you make something.
Well, in that first Fantastic Four movie, the first one that they made.
So let me. I'll say this,
because it's like they're doing the same thing over again.
Yeah. So the first Fantastic Four movie, it was essentially Ultimate Fantastic Four, the movie.
No, I'm talking the one that never got released.
Oh, the Roger.
Yes, because they made that one so that they wouldn't lose the movie rights. And I feel like they're doing it again.
The if you scour the internet hard enough, you will find it. But there's also a fantastic documentary called Doomed.
I saw the untold story of
the original Fantastic Four movie. But I digress. The first two Fantastic Four movies that came out in the early 2000s, you know, in terms of taking something and introducing it to a wide street, you know, onto a broader audience, you know, kids are where it's at. If kids grow up with something, they're going to stick with it. You know, I was just talking to one of my best friends earlier who his son's now watched prequel movies, and one of his favorite characters is Jar Jar. The reaffirming George Lucas's insistence that Jar Jar was put in there for 5-year-olds. The original Fantastic Four movie, although not necessarily what we would have wanted, it was okay. It did what it had to do. And then the second one just kind of coasted and rested on its very limited laurels.
Yes.
Chris Evans was the standout in both movies.
And now he has a real franchise.
You know, now he's Cap. Michael Chiklis was awesome as the Thing.
Yeah, I actually did like Michael Chiklis. I think the most egregious sin, sorry, I had
a mini stroke. Jessica Alba was the only thing that you could really say kind of sucked about those movies.
Right.
But, she's hot.
She was there to
she's
be
hot. She was in a tight outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, you know.
There is one other thing you could say really sucked about those movies. Doom.
Please,
call me Doom.
The actor was cool. It's just they didn't really utilize Doom to his fullest potential. I'm not in the mood for Lady Doom.
No.
Because that's probably a happening.
Wait, what?
You didn't hear about this?
No.
One of the rumors floating around is that they're going to change the sex of Dr. Doom, so we'll have Lady Doom.
Ugh.
Listen, at the end of the day...
Is that just to give the middle finger to Marvel Studios because they obviously want to use Dr. Doom?
Listen, I'm saying I hope it happens because this movie will be so bad...
Just going to facilitate
that they'll never, ever attempt to do this ever again, and the movies will revert back to Marvel Studios, and by the time we're up to Ant-Man number 3, there'll be a Reed Richards cameo, and you can reintroduce the Fantastic Four without making us suffer through another Fantastic Four origin movie.
I would rather... Then see this movie, see a Fantastic Four with Herbie the Robot in it.
Well, Herbie's kind of cool.
I do love Herbie.
I mean, listen, it's not Herbie's fault. Hello, kids.
Marvel's afraid kids are going to try setting themselves on fire. Yes,
bored mom groups didn't want to take accountability for their moron kids.
I'm a kid. I'm going to set myself on fire and jump out a window.
That was a good voice.
I call that Darwinism at its absolute finest.
Yep.
More air for me.
Mm-hmm. If he can do it, I can do
it. That's right. Good. You should do it.
But now you were saying before, I mean, I think the biggest controversy about it is the race bending for Human Torch.
Well,
and again, you were saying you started talking about it, and then we got back on topic.
And it's not just, because it goes both ways. So you hit the message boards, as painful as it can be, and you'll get the person who's like, I hate it when they change races of people because they want to change races of people. And I stop and go, Khan Noonan Singh, as awesome as Benedict is not and does not look like someone whose name should be Khan Noonan Singh.
Absolutely.
Bane and the awful Dark Knight Rises.
Atrocious. We'll get to that in another week, folks. That's going to get its own hour.
Which, by the way, also goes to my comic book fans. You are painfully hypocritical. Bane... painfully Hispanic.
Yes,
is not Tom Hardy, as awesome as Tom Hardy is. He features the magical ability to be super jacked in one movie and super small in the next movie. I mean, think about this. Bane was once the Captain Picard clone. And you know it's cool, but
the
so
line should be drawn here, no father.
The studios, for whatever reason, feel the need to want to gender bend and race swap because they need to appeal to the broader audience.
You cut off my Bane as Captain Picard.
Make it so.
Keep going.
The you know, because they don't, you know, they think that, you know, well, there isn't a black guy in the movie, so if black people are going to go see it, there needs to be a black guy in the movie. And I go, F you, mm-hmm. because the vast majority of people are beyond that.
Right.
The Al Sharpton doesn't don the tacky tracksuit anymore mm-hmm. and march up and down streets because it's Tuesday. The
do you care when you go see a superhero team that doesn't have a black guy in it?
And it's not the character's fault. Listen, the vast majority of these characters were created in the 50s, the 60s, in some cases the 30s and the 40s, when racial diversity meant there was a Catholic that moved in down the block. If these characters were created today, yes, most likely, you know, a member of the Fantastic Four would be black. Yes, Miles Morales would most likely probably wind up being Peter Parker. As a matter of fact, little known fact, Peter Parker was supposed to be Jewish. And was Jewish up until they did a Christmas issue. So, you can't blame the characters for the lack of diversity. You can't impugn the comic book companies for the lack of diversity.
Right.
The only thing that you can really say is, where you can go bully on you is that, or rather poo-poo on you, is that they haven't, you know, most companies haven't found a way to develop worthwhile minority characters.
Right.
When you look at Marvel, you know, fine, Luke Cage was badass in the 70s, and he was what he was supposed to be. The personification of a blaxploitation movie in comic book form. Those movies were kicking butt back then. But then it stopped being the 70s, and the character went on the shelf for a very long time. Attempted reboot, you know, quick reappearance when they made the Punisher black for three issues, almost said episodes. Went back on the shelf again. Pop back up again during Alias and what is a grossly offensive portrayal of the character. The with the grills and I'm gonna do this white. Are we gonna curse on this?
Yeah, we can curse on this one. Go for it.
I'm gonna do this white bitch in her honey hole because she can take it because I'm got a super powerful dick. It's ridiculous. Yep. Effing ridiculous. Effing freaking ridiculous.
That's the reason he's with Jessica Jones, folks, is because she could take it when he plows her in
the
ass.
That's right. I'm gonna put it in your duty hole, bitch. Come on now. I'm like, come on, really? Luke Cage, grills. It pisses me off. But you know, it's triathlon. Okay, great. His power is that he is a mega athlete and has crappy clothes. Rage, you know, a byproduct of the horrendous period in time for comic books known as the 90s.
Yes.
The only worthwhile character that you got after Storm was freaking Bishop. Mm-hmm. You know, Stanley attempted to do something with the Black Panther. It's not Stanley's fault that even though Wakanda is insanely advanced, that Wakanda's interpretation in comic book form comes from, you know, every Tarzan movie ever. It's a bunch of black people walking around in leopard print tunics. At least he tried.
He did.
At least he tried.
But now, my problem with the Human Torch being black is not the fact that they made a black character.
It's no reason for it.
No, it's the fact that Sue is white.
Yes, I know. Yes, the Storm family. So I'm assuming they're going to be adopted. Or
I would love it.
Or Mama has some splaining to do.
I would love it if they make it like well, there must be a story here. Wait, what are you talking about?
I would say just don't acknowledge it.
Yeah,
just power through it.
Johnny was the postman's baby.
That's right. That's right. Mama got a visit from the chocolate milkman.
Oh. But yeah. So I mean, and then let's look at the rest of the cast. I mean, it's somebody called it online CW casting, and I think that hit the nail right on the head because Absolutely. It's very much CW casting. CW casting, folks, I mean like CW the network. It's always like casting the young, good looking people to draw in the
very
TV
young, very pretty Abercrombie people.
All with a six pack.
The
Reed should be skinny. Reed shouldn't have a six pack.
Believe it. So if you look at Reed Richards, one, he should be older than what he is.
Mm.
He
wasn't that old in the first one either.
No, but again, he was older.
Yeah.
He looked like an adult and not like the nutty professor's lab assistant. The you know, he looked like he probably graduated from college and got all of his doctorates and had time to do what he had to do. The I get, Reed and Ben were World War II pilots in 2014. That's really something you can't contend with because they would be, you know, they would be in their 90s. So it'd be a little absurd, but at least, you know, let him be 34. You know, same thing with Ben. They, you know, they were army buddies together. They're the best of the best friends.
Right.
They should be older than Johnny and Sue.
Exactly.
Reed is also, you know, if you look back to the original designs, he's got more of like that classically classically handsome old Hollywood style look about him.
Yes.
You know, Cary Grant, Burt Lancaster, like just you know, square jawed, good-looking dudes. Ben Grimm, you know, this guy's a football player, a mega athlete, a freaking army grunt. This guy's a shit kicker.
Yes, he is.
This would be a block jawed, rounded shouldered animal, and he's very pretty. And Sue, you know, girl next door, got way more character development way later. You know, again, can't fault it. It was the 60s. You know, her sole purpose was to get tied up and then turn invisible.
Yes.
And then Johnny's the brash, young, cocky upstart and, you know, good looking dude. He Chris Evans, Michael B. Jordan's gonna do fantastic in the role. It's just my grievance is it's stupid to make changes like this for no reason.
Absolutely. And I can only imagine how heinous the script must be.
Chronicle's a good movie. I think the script's gonna be okay. It's just gonna be jarring. It's not gonna be the Fantastic Four. And this,
well, you know me. I don't like the Fantastic Four. You hate that I don't like the Fantastic
Four. That's Bendis' fault because the Marvel Cinematic Universe doing a much better making their comic book characters heroes than actual Marvel comics. Reed Richards for the last 12 years has been an insufferable douchebag.
Yeah, I can't stand Reed. Richards is my most hated comic book character.
Versus being the patriarch of Marvel's first family and resident actual know-it-all. Mm-hmm. Reed doesn't use his intellect like a slapjack on the back of your skull. He's just the guy who happens to know everything.
Right.
Who should have a nutty professor quality about him. He's a mad freaking scientist, for God's sakes, who cares about his family.
And then just look at what they've done to him, because, I mean, from Civil War on, Reed is basically a supervillain.
Yeah. Well, that's why Ultimate Reed is a bad guy, because actual Reed Richards, for a very long time, was, in fact, a supervillain.
They turned Reed Richards evil?
Yeah. He's, Reed is smug. He's borderline arrogant. He's manipulative. But same thing can be said for Tony. The only person who happened to have actually held on to the essence of their character was Captain America. And quite frankly, Captain America is a DC character trapped in the Marvel Universe.
You know, Kevin has said that since I've known him. And I've always seen the truth in it. And it wasn't until I was listening to another podcast with Jeff Johns on it, where Jeff Johns said Captain America is a DC character trapped in the Marvel Universe. Where I was like, holy crap, other people will agree with you on this.
The Fantastic Four isn't just a superhero comic. And this is what the first two movies struggled with. It is a family. It's a movie about a family that happens to have superpowers.
Yes.
They barely even wear their costumes, for God's sakes.
The first one you're talking about.
It's in the comics.
Oh, yeah.
They wear their costumes when they're going to work. Adventure is their actual job. Other than that, they go out. Ben walks around in his street clothes all the time. They don't even refer to each other by their code names. It's Reed, Johnny, Sue, Ben.
Of course. I don't remember the last time anyone said, hey, Human Torch, or hey, Invisible Woman.
Yeah, it's.
Even when they did the crossover episode on Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, where the Thing showed up, Hulk didn't say Thing. He's like, Grim! And they started beating each other up.
And I just kind of feel that this movie is still going to be another Fantastic Four movie that doesn't grasp that concept. I think there may be a little more heart because the person doing the script is, Chronicles a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
So I think there's going to be a lot more heart in the movie, But I still don't think it's going to be fantastic.
Chronicle is that movie about the kids that get the superpowers, right?
Yes.
I wanted to see it. Never did. The kid that played Harry Osborn was also one of the kids in that.
Yeah. So, I'm just afraid. A lot of the times when you see change for the sake of change,
right,
it generally means that the movie is going to stink.
Agreed.
It just, you look at any attempt at a comic book movie during the 90s, change for the sake of change always equals it stinks.
Yep.
So, I just, I'm not to go all John Lovett's critic on it, but it's probably going to stink.
Probably. Honestly, I usually see every comic book movie that comes out, obviously, but this is one where I can really, honest to God, say, I just don't think I'll go.
Lady Doom, I'm out. Right now, I'm still going to go see it just so I can say I saw it. Lady Doom, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it.
Well, it's like, Michael Bay's Ninja Turtles. I don't want to see that either.
I'll give that one a chance just because...
I may give it a chance depending on what it looks like.
It could potentially be more like the comic books than the cartoon, but April O'Neil's in a yellow jumpsuit. It's got Vern in it.
Yeah, but April O'Neil's also Megan Fox.
Yeah, but, April number one from the original Teenage Mutant Turtles was, she was fair, but she was most certainly not good looking.
No, that's true.
That's why she got replaced with April number two, because April number two was hot.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name because we don't do show prep and don't pull up actors' names.
Well, we didn't know we were going to talk about this anyway.
But, April number two was hot. And now that Megan Fox seems to have pulled herself back together, Megan Fox is freaking hot. So, why not?
Shredder's a white guy.
For now, again, his character is named not Oroko Saki.
Mm-hmm.
So, there could be some trickery in there. I don't actually think we get to see the real Shredder in this movie. I think you get fake Shredder like in the early 2000s Ninja Turtles movie. Cartoon.
TMNT cartoon, mm-hmm. Yeah. Very well could be. That movie aside, folks, real quick, I'm going to take a quick break to hype the other shows here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. Hope you listen to it. I promise it's not long. Give it a listen and then hear some of these other shows that we've got available. See if you like one. Try it out. And we will be right back after these words. Hey there, folks. It's your old buddy Kev, shamelessly interrupting the flow of this awesome WDPN podcast to chill my other stuff. Bear with me here, folks. We'll be back to the show in a minute. Now, I know you're enjoying this tremendous audio gold you're listening to right now, and you're probably upset that the audio geniuses of the WDPN are only around for you 1 hour per week, right? Well, in the words of Lex Luthor, wrong! We've got a plethora of shows out there, all available for streaming and download, both on Podomatic.com and iTunes. And the best part is, we've got something for everyone. You a sports fan? If so, then let host Colin West and his panel take you for a ride through the wild world of sports in the 4-Minute Drill. These guys cover everything from baseball to football, basketball, hockey, both the pro and collegiate level. Maybe you dig the world of sports entertainment more than actual sports. Well, look no further than Watch the Line, the WDPN Pro Wrestling Talk podcast. Join me and my kinda all-starish panel of personalities from around the world of professional wrestling as we provide an insider's view on all the latest news of the day. Okay, so maybe you don't like any athletics whatsoever. I get you, man. I really do. But for those in tune with the world of pop culture, I present to you Till Death Do Us Pod with me and my wife, Jackie. From the comfort of our living room, we're going to be exploring the biggest pop culture stories of the day. Reality not your thing? You're someone who enjoys living in the world of fiction more, right? Okay. Well, I got something for you, too. If you're a fan of the CW's hit show Arrow, then I have some good news. You can join Kevin Clark and me as we enter the world of Starling City in Leon U, the WDPN Arrowcast, exploring the fictional universe of the hit show and expanding on it with our own predictions and crackpot theories. That's a little bit too focused for you? All right, well, let's go broad. Take a ride to the glitz and glamour, or lack thereof, found in the world of cinema, with silver screen spoilers hosted by our very own Dave Swan. Dave and his crew, myself included, will break down all the latest news in the big and small screen alike and provide in-depth, spoiler-ridden reviews of all the biggest and best Hollywood releases. What's that? Not a fan of all the colorful language of these explicit-rated podcasts? You want the freedom to listen to WDPN with the entire family, right? Well, gather the parents, grandparents, and kids around your computer or mobile device as Peter Mandel and myself take you inside the world of Disney with Two Men and the Mouse. Pete and I explore our love of Walt Disney World and the larger Disney universe beyond,
as we provide reviews, news, and tips to help you experience the magic of Walt Disney World wherever you may be. Well, there you go. That's all I got. For now. We got plenty more show ideas cooking, so search iTunes for WDPN to find all these amazing White Dragon Podcast Network shows. Visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network for direct links to each show, plus all the latest WDPN news and info on when new episodes drop. All right, I'm done. Back to the show. Enjoy!
And we're back. Folks, I hope you're going to check out some of those other shows. I work very hard on them. It's taken over my life. Okay, so the last thing I wanted to talk about today, we have been recently it went from zero to overload in like a day, where all of a sudden, bam, here is all this information on the upcoming Star Wars cartoon, Star Wars Rebels. You know, we were both big into Clone Wars.
I love Clone Wars. I was probably one of the three people that went to go see it, the Clone Wars movie release.
I will say I was not one of those people. I didn't see it till like last year was when I first saw it.
You know, and it was cool, and I was willing to take the ride. You know, the first couple episodes is a little, you know, it's like all new shows, from the pilot maybe up until like the third or fourth episode, they have to find their sea legs, and it gets a little better.
Right.
You know, I think it's taken S.H.I.E.L.D. what, 12 episodes to attempt to find its sea legs.
Yes.
You know, the so far my favorite episode is the one that was last on, because spoiler alert, I pause so that you have time to not listen to me.
Yes.
The sky was on the ground in a pool of her own blood. Unfortunately, she's not dead. But I digress. Clone Wars, once it found the note that it wanted to hit, was effing spectacular TV.
Absolutely.
You know, and it, you know, kudos to the Clone Wars team. I'm glad we have them for Rebels. They show you how inadequate episode 2 and 3 really are in terms of storytelling.
I was actually going to say, like, I feel like the Clone Wars, and this may be sacrilege, but I feel like it rivals the films.
I mean, it's the perfect companion. And quite frankly, again, it makes episode 2 and 3 that much more palpable. Episode 3 is a little better. It's an editing disaster.
Yes.
Episode 2 is just, there's nothing redeeming about it. I hate sand.
Oh, not just the men, but the women and the children, too.
I slaughter them
like animals.
You know, Obi-Wan,
I hate them.
Obi-Wan's got that stupid mullet.
Yes.
The Natalie Portman's whining every 3 seconds.
Natalie Portman was texting her lines in that one.
Which I can't blame her. You know, you go from being a strong character to relegated to, you're not even the damsel in distress who gets tied up and thrown on the railroad tracks.
No.
She's the girl who dies in the opening seconds of every Friday the 13th movie.
The girl who dies because her boyfriend is mean to her. And then this strong, confident woman just dies, just is so upset because this man yelled at her that she dies. Because it's not that he chokes her. They say there's nothing wrong with her. She is just so brokenhearted over this man that she dies.
Right. She wants to be a selfish witch and dies instead of staying alive to raise her children.
Yes.
She's mad because her husband, her husband yelled at her.
Yep.
That's not even like 50s. It's okay to beat your women, boys. That's not even 50s storytelling. That's like, I don't even know if the weird misogynistic.
It's very misogynistic. George Lucas doesn't write women very well.
Not really.
The only woman he ever wrote well was Princess Leia, and that's because she acts like a guy.
My George Lucas is more like Dr. Evil.
Yes,
it's
more
fun that way.
she's done well in the Clone Wars. Padme,
again, strong character, confident, a natural leader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, knows how to kick butt when she needs to kick butt. This is a person who was a queen who becomes a high ranking senator.
Yeah,
you know, this is someone with tactical experience. She's a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a warrior by nature, but just by nature, not even by training. You know, this is someone who should not be dying of a broken heart, because the obvious bad guy is committing acts of dastardly villainy.
Oh, I just like, it's like,
this would be like Penelope Pitstop dying because Dick Dastardly tried to steal her car. Stop it.
Could you actually die by just being really sad?
Actually, I believe you can.
Really?
I would actually quote the study that I read, but I remember reading many moons ago that there was a study conducted that actual heartbreak is an actual thing, and it actually does take a toll on your heart.
Oh.
So, yes, it is actually feasible that someone could die from severe enough heartbreak. However, queen, senator, mother, warrior, knows going to the lava planet that this probably isn't going to go well. That her hubby murdered a bunch of children and blew up a building.
At the end of the day, when Obi-Wan shows up and is like, listen, this is what he did. You know, and she's like, I can't listen to these lies, Obi-Wan. Like, you know, in the back of her mind, she's like, shit, he fucking did this.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I need more time for me to look at Anakin and his glorious mane.
Yes.
Let's cut out all the scenes with the woman being strong. We don't need Mon Mothma.
No.
She can just stick to Manny Bothans died. I also like to pretend that Manny Bothans is really a Spanish dude named Manny.
Manny Bothans.
Yeah, his last name was Bothans. And, you know, just Manny died to give them that information. She's okay. She just needs to see Manny Bothans died. And when we make her toy, we won't even give her legs. She'll just be solid because she's wearing a dress thing. And, you know, there's no need to see how the seeds of the rebellion got planted. Hey, whatever. No. Keep it moving.
That's why we have Star Wars Rebels.
That's right. We need more time with Anakin staring off in the distance, crying.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make him... You won't think he's so much of a villain because he cries a lot.
He's
no,
deep.
It just reaffirms that Anakin's a spoiled, mm-hmm. unknowing little bitch.
Mm-hmm.
He's an expectant little twat.
But you know what? And it was always like, because Obi-Wan was never really put over as well in the prequels as he was like
about Anakin.
Yeah, because in the Clone Wars, they saw where their bread was buttered. They were like, listen, this guy is going to turn evil. We need to make Obi-Wan the main hero of
Kenobi!
The heart-wrenching cry of every villain in the galaxy. Kenobi! So we've got Skywalker. He's pinned down. One blaster bolt and he's done. The Chosen One is dead. Yes, but if we keep him alive, Kenobi will come. So we've got Skywalker dead. Kenobi will come!
Hello, everybody. I'm here.
Kill him! Oh, I love Obi-Wan in that show. He's the epitome of the white... Like, he is the Shawn Michaels of
the
Clone Wars.
He, a real American should be playing every time Obi-Wan Kenobi shows up.
He shows up and... You know, and he always got the cool outfits. He got to wear the Stormtrooper armor. He got to wear the Boba Fett armor. You know, Obi-Wan in different outfits was the thing you loved about that show.
The best part of Anakin was his clones. Was Rex?
Yeah.
By the way,
I live in a world where Captain Rex was the bumbling robot pilot of Star Tours in Walt Disney World. So when somebody was like, "Oh yeah, Captain Rex is in the show," and I was like, "Captain Rex is in the show!" Like when I hadn't watched it, I was so excited because I was expecting like comets. Comments! Oh no! And when I finally saw it was a clone, I was like, "Oh,
okay."
I was so excited. I was like, "Did they get Pee Wee Herman to do his voice?" Like, I was insanely pumped. And then I saw, but I like the new Captain Rex.
Listen, I'm glad that we faced some hard times when Disney purchased Star Wars because it just meant one thing that all of our fun times with Star Wars was over. The mouse would not be allowing us to make our fanfics.
They have been...
You know, they shut it down.
They've been shooting them down left and right.
I'm pretty sure Chad Vader's in the bottom of a cell somewhere in a subterranean catacomb.
But you know what? They're cool with that because the dude that played Chad Vader now does all the voice of Vader and everything, so... I'm pretty sure he's like, yeah, take my fan film. See if I care.
You know,
I'm getting an actual paycheck for this.
They're pretty good about taking. I cursed the mouse and burned him in effigy when I found out that Clone Wars was canceled.
They're doing the end of it. I mean, it had to end this next season anyway.
I can't get my Darth Maul blow off match, but it's fine. Whatever.
I still think you're going to get some. Or I think Darth Maul may show up in Rebels.
It's possible.
If that happens, will you be happy?
I will be happy. It will also prove one other thing, because I said this all the time. I did not read the books. I only read two books.
Okay.
The original Expanded Universe trilogy that started it all. They gave us Mara Jade and the clone. And Shadows of the Empire. Everything else was fanfic.
Yeah, it was all fanfic. And I read a lot. And I feel like...
if you didn't get a toy, you're fanfic.
Yep.
The Outrider makes it to the movies in the special editions. Mm-hmm. It had a soundtrack. It is canon.
It is. It definitely is.
Everything after
Lucas, I think, had a strong hand in writing it too. Yeah. I know he didn't write it, but
everything after Jedi, it did not happen. It does not exist.
Mm-hmm.
It might as well just be the Star Wars Christmas special, which I have seen.
I still haven't,
and I had to watch 87 times because my body, my brain went into like, oh my god, I can't believe you're doing this to me, and made me fall asleep every time.
You're doing this. Second.
Starring B. Arthur, Art Carney. You know, happy light day.
Oh, but, my God.
I digress.
So
let's talk
about some of the characters coming up. Kanan, or Kanan, or however you say Kanan, I think is how you say it.
It's Kanan.
Yeah, it's Kanan. Kanan Jarrus.
Yeah, Freddie Prinze Jr.
Freddie Prinze Jr. voicing him. He is your main character. He has been described by Dave Filoni as a cowboy Jedi who escaped Order 66. So basically, it's, you know, I'm an outlaw. I'm a man on the edge. I forsake my Jedi ways because I can't be a Jedi no more.
Well, I think they also make it a point of saying he's a Jedi who hasn't used his powers in a while.
Yeah.
So, as you go through, you're watching him relearn how to use his Force skills.
And I think that's brilliant. And I like that he's got his blue lightsaber, but he also has a blaster at his side.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting time. I mean, this is a period in time in Star Wars universe that really didn't get explored very much. And without being able to use any of the pure canon characters, this is truly the Wild West.
Absolutely.
Let's see what they got.
Absolutely. And they're really treating it that way. We also have Sabine, who is a female Mandalorian, and wears the Mandalorian battle armor, which I'm super stoked for. I love anything, and fanboys love anything Boba Fett.
Yeah, well, and I come from a time when I got my Boba Fett figures when I was wee itty bitty, Boba Fett was always sacrificed to the beach, because what did you do with the Boba Fett figure? You went to the beach, you dug a hole because there's your Sarlacc pit, and you had your Sarlacc pit swallow him.
Yep.
And because you were too young to remember what you did, you turned your head and forgot where your hole was. And they needed to go get a new
pit. That's why they sold so many.
That's right. And it wasn't until like the 90s, people were like, Boba Fett's awesome. And half the people said, Boba Fett. Boba Fett is awesome. He's the man. You read that issue where he climbs out of the Sarlacc pit and goes hunting Han? No, I didn't, because it's a fanfic.
I read it.
It's
Tales of Jabba's Palace. Yeah.
But, Boba Fett is pretty cool, you know?
He is, and I'm sure he'll pop up in the show at some
point.
Who
only had 3 seconds of dialogue. He's pretty cool. So
he'll definitely pop up in this show.
Yeah, that's true. You're probably the only character you get. Hopefully, we'll see some Clone Wars characters.
Yeah.
Ahsoka's still floating around. You got Cad Bane running around.
Yep. I really hope we see Cad Bane.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with Rex, because I kind of felt the direction they were going was Rex was going to be one of the clones who was immune to the Order 66.
And I think that's exactly where they're going, because I know that there is, when Clone Wars comes out on Netflix, I believe within the next month or so. Which that's what's happening, folks. The last season is being released on Netflix, which I think is brilliant. They're going to be releasing it, and there is an Order 66 episode, I believe, from what I've heard.
Yeah, there was a quick snippet put out on the internet not too long ago, and you see one of the clones, the Order 66 programming, actually kicks in, and he guns down a Jedi, and everybody's like, "What the hell is happening?"
Yeah,
so again, it's going to be interesting. Again, I can't wait. It truly unexplored Wild West period in time, and these guys dominated for a bunch of seasons. Even the weaker episodes. We need an episode that only features droids. All droids.
Or the Jar Jar.
Jar Jar.
Or the Jar Jar and 3PO episode.
I need a Jar Jar and 3PO to go on a wacky adventure.
Something for you and something for me.
That's more Jar Jar. What do you think about this scene with the Darth Sidious fighting 67 people? More Jar Jar.
Yep. Everything banks on Jar Jar. He actually said everything relies on Jar Jar when they filmed episode one.
I should change his name to Jar Jar Banks, because he's going to make me tons of cheddar.
Oh, God. Okay, so then we also have Ezra, who is your typical, like, punk kid, you know, I'm on my own, that kind of thing, who I'm sure we're going to see, you know. It's very, very cliche character, but hopefully they'll do something cool with it. Yeah. I trust Filioni.
And listen, you know, you're going to get a whole bunch of cliche characters. I mean, I winced when I heard Cowboy Jedi, but...
I'm cool with know, that. And then we also have Hera, who is you always need a pilot.
In every
Knights of the Old Republic, in every Star Wars movie, you need your pilot.
Well, that's it. Even though the characters may be starting off a little cliche or a little derivative, I'm sure they're going to get some depth, and we're gonna have a lot of fun with these guys.
Well, you know, I went to...
Assuming all of them make it out of the first season.
Yes, I went to the... when I was at New York Comic Con, I went to the Star Wars Rebels panel, and they showed a lot of the vehicles that they're using are actually modeled after old toys. Which I think was awesome and incredible, like the Imperial Transport and stuff like that.
A lot of the concept art, for the original trilogy. It's going to have a very cool look. And again, what I really find fascinating is that by choosing to have things look like the concept art, it helps maintain the look of progress. By the time you make it to the A New Hope movies,
right.
The technology has been refined. One of the big complaints that you could say is that by the time, you know, there's such a gap in time between the prequels and between the classics that, the classics look painfully dated.
Right.
And, you have something that's happening, 20-something years in the past, and their technology is better.
Right.
And I've heard everything from, well, you know, the Rebels, they don't have the ability to access this stuff, so they're using hand-me-downs.
Their droid companion, I almost forgot this one, Chopper, is like their astromech, and he's described as a grumpy astromech because he's like pieced together from spare parts because the Rebels are so ragtag. I think that's hysterical. They said if R2 is a dog, Chopper is a cat. He's just grumpy and cranky. I think that's great. Also rumored, by the way, Tim Curry is Emperor Palpatine. That's rumored, obviously, from Clone Wars. Who I didn't like him as the Emperor because the original guy they had playing him was phenomenal. So you got Tim Curry as Emperor Palpatine, maybe. Matt Sloan possibly playing Darth Vader. Steven Stanton rumored to be Governor Tarkin again. Also, this is the biggie, Billy Dee Williams rumored to be playing Lando Calrissian.
I mean, it doesn't get much better. Doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah.
You know,
Han's got to pop up at some point.
Billy Dee may look a little, may look a little older, but he still has that silky smooth voice.
Yes, he does.
You know, he really does make you feel like you truly belong up here in the clouds.
Yeah, and he's been playing Lando quite a bit through the Robot Chicken and then through the Lego movie. Spoilers, he has a cameo. And then our villain is the Inquisitor. We've seen pictures of him. We haven't seen him in action yet. We haven't seen any of that yet. So, we're looking forward to seeing that. And actually, Kev, I think we're at the 59-minute mark for our audio. So
there's so much more to discuss.
I know.
It totally took us off topic by ranting about race, and I didn't even finish my point.
Yeah. well, folks, I think that's going to do it for this week's issue of Kevin's Squared. I'm doing what you do now, saying issue instead of episode. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Kevin Squared. Be sure to join us next week where we can continue talking about Star Wars Rebels and other geeky things that are going to happen throughout the week. Beautiful thing about geek news, it's always evolving. It's always coming into its own. It's always, changing out there. And so there's always no lack of topics for us here on this show. So, folks, for Kevin Clark, I'm Kevin Kessler. Stay geeky, my friends. We'll see you next week.
This has been a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network. For information on this, as well as our other great podcasts, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network, email us at WDPodcastNetwork@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at White Dragon PN.